heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
Hey, welcome to the National Defense. I am Jerry Newberry. And before we start things today, we're going to do what we do every week, and that's dedicate this show to the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there, and of course to all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you. And thank you very much. Okay, with us today is VFW National Commander-in-Chief Glenn Gardner. How are you, Glenn?
Doing great, Jerry. Good to be with you today.
Hey, glad to see you. You got some bags under your eyes.
Oh, been on the road for about 4 or 5 days, traveling around the beautiful northeastern part of this country.
Yeah, specifically D.C. A lot going on in D.C. the past few days.
A lot going on. We've been there since Sunday.
Sunday, and you delivered testimony in front of a joint committee of Senate and the House.
Yes, yeah, on Wednesday. Monday, we spent visiting with the president for about 45 minutes to discuss some issues. We also had a meeting with a three-star general over at the Pentagon to talk about Army issues and some of the military issues. Then Tuesday, we visited with four senators and four congressmen, representatives who are leaders of the Republican Democratic Party in the Congress during this session. And on Wednesday, we gave our annual testimony before the joint session, the joint meeting of the Senate and House Veterans Affairs Committee.
So getting a lot of important work done. You mentioned the meeting with the president. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what precipitated that meeting with the president. A couple of weeks ago, rumors were flying around that included in the new proposed budget was an item that would essentially bill service-connected veterans, insurance companies, for services delivered at VA facilities, correct?
That's correct. In the 59.5 billion-dollar budget that the president is proposing for the VA for the next fiscal year was a proposal that would have charged insurance companies of disabled service-connected veterans for treatment for those conditions.
And once that rumor got out there, all hell broke loose.
Well, the rumor got out, and 11 organizations, including the Veterans of Foreign Wars, signed a letter to the president expressing our dissatisfaction with that provision and the fact that we felt that that was going back on a promise made to all of those that have served this country who may have been injured and receive service-connected disabilities, that they would receive health care from the VA for the rest of their life for these conditions. And so 11 of us wrote a letter, signed it, sent it to the president, and in turn the president asked for a meeting of the 11 organizations. Also present at the meeting was Secretary Shinseki, the president's chief of staff, and a couple of members of OMB.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Now, the president's a smart guy. There's no doubt about that. He's intelligent, and he's certainly politically savvy. So the question is, why would that thing get thrown out there? Was it a situation like TRICARE? Every year that they stick that in the budget somewhere, the TRICARE increases. Did someone do that simply to see, hey, let's throw it up against the wall, see if it sticks? What do you think?
Well, I'm not 100% sure of how it got in there, why it got in there. As I told somebody today, if the president was still on that Senate Veterans Committee as he has been for the last 4 or 5 years, he would have probably been at that meeting on Wednesday like the rest of those senators, saying it's dead on arrival when it gets over here. But they are looking for ways to help offset some of the expenditures out of the budget, which is they're to be complimented for that because that's tax dollars. We're all concerned about that. But they also framed it more in the context of a insurance company issue, not a veterans issue. Here's Glenn Gardner. He's a service-connected disabled veteran. He works for a company, and that company buys health insurance for him. He goes to the VA to be treated for his service-connected disability. And because it is service-connected, there is no provision in the law for the VA to charge that insurance company. But yet, the company that Glenn works for is paying those premiums every month. But what we're doing, in essence, their thought was, in essence, what we're doing is letting the insurance companies off the hook for not having to pay for the care being received at the VA hospital.
So it sounds like a bean counter got a hold of that and didn't consider the human aspects of it, or really the political side of that.
Well, as I told the president when I had the opportunity to speak, it's the whole thing, the problem with the whole thing is the fact that you have to look at what it looks like from a veteran standpoint.
Right.
The misconception about it was it's not as a business procedure going through, but for some young man or woman serving in the uniform of the armed forces today, if all of a sudden they see a headline that VAs start charging insurance companies if for somebody who has a service-connected disability, you know, they begin to wonder, well, you know, what if I get my arm blown off in Iraq or my leg,
right,
or have TBI? Will that mean that when I come back and start receiving treatment from the VA that they're going to bill my insurance company, which could present a problem for the disabled veteran? You know, we believe that it could have caused jobs. There are companies out here that hire a lot of disabled veterans. They understand that, but if all of a sudden they may be carrying insurance and they may be doing it, the veteran may be doing it because they have a spouse or children, and so they use it primarily for them. But if all of a sudden here were bills for $30,000 for a prosthesis of some kind or $15,000 and you get a lot of these, then the premiums would go up.
Right.
Employers would take a look at that. You know, one of the issues that came up was self-insured companies, as the VFW is.
Yeah.
And if you end up with an individual who has a lot of expenses in 1 year, then every employee
pays
of that
more.
Company pays more the next year.
Right.
And so there was just a lot of downsides to this. But I told the president I thought it was more of the way it looked when you took a look at it, not the real business aspect of it.
So, meeting with the president, you and how many other service organizations?
10. There were 11 of us all together.
Okay. Those were the major congressionally chartered organizations.
Yes.
What kind of reception did you receive? Did the president, did he weigh carefully your words? Did he have his mind made up before he walked in the door? What happened?
No, I thought it was a very good meet. I mean, from what I can understand and talk to people that have been around, a meeting like this hasn't taken place in many years. And, you know, it never hurts if an issue like this surfaces if you get to have a 45-minute meeting with the President of the United States.
Right.
As veterans organization. So when we started the meeting, the President, who, as you said, is not a dumb individual, his first statement to us was, I understand that if I cannot convince the 11 of you that this is the thing to do, that it's never going to pass Congress, and there's no use it being part of the budget proposal. But what I want to do at this meeting is I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to us on why we proposed it, but then I want to listen to each every one of you. I want everybody at this table to have a say before I leave this meeting. And that's what took place. And they expressed, like I said, they framed it more from the standpoint of, here's an insurance company that's getting money from a veteran but not having to pay anything out because that veteran's getting their treatment from the VA hospital.
So obviously the meeting was more than just posturing. You came in there. It was a discussion.
It was a discussion on both sides. For and against.
Okay. So, and I know you made a statement shortly after meeting. It said President Obama said in a meeting Monday that he would listen to the veterans community if they objected to this proposal. And it's obvious that he did listen.
That's correct. After the president left the room, then we met with his chief of staff for about another 10 or 15 minutes. That discussion took a little different avenue. The chief of staff, of course, it's his responsibility to try to carry out the wishes of the president. And if that was in the budget, that's he, you know, so he wanted to push forward as much as possible. And if we weren't going to do that, then he asked for recommendations of ways that we could make other cuts in the budget that would perhaps offset that $500 million. Of course, that's not our job to do.
No, it's not.
It's not up to us as a VSO to tell the government where to get the money or how to cut expenses. So that was another meeting was held yesterday, very short meeting, and that was part of the discussion of that meeting, that the VSOs felt like that was up to OMB and the president and his budget people to come up with the answers to those questions.
This is probably a touchy question, but I'm going to ask it. After your meeting with the president, I know what you said. The president said he would listen to all of you, and if y'all weren't going to go along with it, it was going to be dead in water. But there were some people, I'm not going to mention any names, but some people out there who were screaming pretty loudly. And quite frankly, I think grabbing headlines, who gave another impression of that. They definitely gave the impression that the president didn't care and he was going to go forward with it regardless of what the VSOs had to say.
There was a press release put out. Everybody that goes to a meeting, I guess, interprets what goes on in that meeting sometimes a little differently. I think if you go in with a little more of a positive attitude than a negative attitude, maybe you get the positive side of what's going on. But I can definitely tell you, as you said, the president is not dumb. He knew that, and he had already had calls from congressmen. He knew that if the 11 major veterans organizations all were continuing to put out the word they were against it, that they were going to be inundated with calls from the population, from veterans, from non-veterans, from everybody that thought it was bad, from senators and representatives. I did not meet with one representative or one senator on Tuesday who didn't start the meeting off with, don't worry about it, it's not going to pass. Now, what else do you want to talk about?
Right, right. Let's talk about the proposed budget. Aside from that, we took care of that. The VFW is part of a group. There's four of the nation's leading veterans organizations that produce a document. It's called the Independent Budget.
Right.
And that essentially is a recommendation for funding for VA. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The Independent Budget that was produced asked for $54.6 billion, an increase of $3.6 billion over last year. Which, you know, we ask for pretty much every year. Usually doesn't happen, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But, in fact, the proposed budget this time around is substantially higher than what we've asked for.
It is. The president has asked for a $5.5 billion increase in the VA budget. You know, we applaud the president and his budget people for understanding the needs of America's veterans and for proposing this increase. We feel that it's the right thing to do. It's very gratifying to us as part of the budget procedure and this independent budget to look and see that indeed the president has asked for more money than even we did in our independent budget.
I'm Jerry Newberry. You're listening to the National Defense. We'll be back in a minute.
You're cleared for shore leave, sailor. Be back by the end of these messages.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
Welcome back to the National Defense. We're speaking with Glenn Gardner, National Commander of the VFW. It seems as though with that proposed increase that the administration is attempting to resolve some of the longstanding problems that we've had with the VA. Can you point to some of those problems and how that increase might help?
Well, I think that, that there are definitely some problems that we have. There's some problems in any large bureaucracies you have in the VA, where you have thousands of employees, you have a lot of old facilities that need to be things done to them, remodeled. But they're doing a lot to go forward. Now, when I met with Secretary Shinseki, you know, his main concern and one of the things that he wants to really go forward with is technology. He believes we can solve a lot of the problems we have with claims and with some of the other things that we're facing if we can get the technology to handle some of this. And so that's one of the things that he asked us to talk to Congress about, was to give them the funding to do the technology.
Technology, it makes sense, and I know that's something the VA has been and the Pentagon have been working towards for a number of years,
right,
to coordinate things on. Seems to me that might eliminate some of the problems we've had with dumping of mail. And, there's been some real horror stories coming out of VA here the last year or so.
There has been, and we're very concerned about that. In fact, part of my testimony before the Joint Veterans Committees was that that's unacceptable to us, to have 16,000 pieces of mail that was unopened. To have documents being shredded. Some of them were documents that had proof for filing of claims. It's all unacceptable. But, Jerry, I can say that firsthand, because I went to the Dallas VA 3 weeks ago and enrolled in the VA. I'd never enrolled in the VA before. I do have a service-connected disability, but I'd never used the VA. So I went to Dallas. I took a physical. I went through the system. The hospital was immaculate. Everybody was friendly. They didn't know who I was. I was just a veteran off the street like anybody else. But the VA is doing an outstanding job. We believe that Secretary Shinseki will do a great job. We're here to support him and to support all of the people that work for the VA to treat the veterans the way they should be treated. But on the other hand, if there are things that the president or the secretary are not doing which is not right for veterans, we're going to speak out and be the voice of the veterans, as we have been for over 100 years.
Yeah, VA has certainly come a long way since the post-Vietnam days. And you're right, for the most part, medical facilities are just great facilities.
Right.
VA employees, for the most part, are good, dedicated employees. But it's a system, quite frankly, that's overburdened.
Right.
Been underfunded for years. It's been a part of the discretionary funding process for far too long. What about that? In your testimony, I think you addressed that.
Yeah. We would like to see advanced funding for the VA. We would like to see it where their budget was set 2 years in advance, so that they would know what funds they are going to have. So when we're setting the 2010 budget, it would actually be the 2012 budget for the VA, so that they don't get to the point in September where they don't know whether that budget's how much they're going to have to operate on for the next year. When you have the tremendous number of employees that they have, especially technical employees like doctors and nurses, then you have to know that you're going to have the funds for the next year to be able to keep these employees on the job.
Right.
And you have to be able to know what you can do as far as technology, as far as everything that deals with the treatment of veterans. So we believe, and we got good response out of the committee. In fact, most of the committee members said that they didn't have a problem and they would support advanced funding. They feel like that we'll have a problem with the appropriators in Washington, maybe. But we're really, you're still not taking the appropriators out of the system. You're not taking the checks and balances out. You're just doing it 2 years in advance.
Right.
So that everybody knows what they're going to have for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and we should also mention that the VA healthcare system, in fact, is used as a model around the world as far as healthcare systems go. The way they do business, for the most part, is smart, especially when it comes to contractual things like buying drugs and things like that. It's too bad some of the, our other systems.
Other agencies don't work that way.
Exactly.
You're right.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we're certainly not slamming VA. I'm Jerry Newberry. We're speaking with Glenn Gardner, VFW National Commander, and we'll be back in just a minute.